To be together this morning as we gather together to worship. This handout that you received, we're going to spend some time towards the end of our hour that we're together here for our time, and we're just going to round out our gathering together with a little bit of an update on some of the stuff from our congregational meeting. So if you want to just hold on to this until later then, and for now, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 11 this morning as we turn to God's Word. This morning, I want to continue a series that we started last week where our aim over the coming weeks is to look at some practices and some habits that are going to help us, many of these we've practiced all throughout our lives, and or maybe just to encourage us in them to help us succeed in the goal of growing in Christ-likeness, because that's what it's all about. We want to know Jesus. We want to know him more. We want to make him known in our lives. And so last week, we looked at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus laid out for us in a very clear manner, very simply, what it means to follow after him. Here's what he said, Luke 9, verse 23, just two chapters before where we're going to be this morning in chapter 11. And he said this to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." He said being a Christian, or just to say it the way that he said it there, is to be a follower of his, means this, is to live a life that it's no longer for yourself, it's dying to yourself, it's all about living this new life that is all about following him and living for his glory. It's a daily habit of taking up your cross and following after him. And so over these coming weeks, as we work through this series, we want to look at some of those practices. What are some of those habits that we can have in our lives that help us take those next steps in our goal of knowing him and making him known in our lives more and more? This morning, we want to talk about the practice of prayer, very simply. As we look at Jesus' example, we see that it was an important part of his life. It was important enough that he took time to teach his disciples and say, this is how you ought to pray. And so I want to encourage us as a church family to be a people of prayer and to spend time daily coming before the Lord, maybe moment by moment throughout the day, just coming before him. And I want us to be a people of prayer, and so to do so, this morning we want to look at Luke chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage. Many of us have this memorized. There's various ways, various versions of it. But in Luke chapter 11, let's read those first 13 verses as we come around and as we look at briefly the Lord's Prayer this morning in the time that we have together. Luke chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 through 13. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and we forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so what I love about this passage is Luke tells us and gives us this account here is that we've got to remember the context of what Jesus is saying here is that it's about us asking. God wants us to ask. And Jesus is instructing his disciples to do that. As we look at that, what we just read there in verses 9 through 13, what we read of there is that he's saying, ask. Ask and you shall receive. He's a good father who loves his children. He describes that to them, and he's saying, if we as humans would, as a father would give good gifts to his children, how much more would our heavenly Father do so too? He wants us to ask. He's a good, good father. At times in my own life, I know as I think about prayer, it's been one of those parts of and practices in my life that I haven't always been the best at, maybe not the most consistent with at times. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think we're all maybe similar like that at times in our lives. There's a number of reasons. Maybe sometimes it's just that whole thing of slowing down. If it's not a habit that we're intentional with, we can just get busy and keep on moving and have this to do and that, and we get up and we're right to it. Maybe sometimes we feel like maybe prayer, it's not being effective because we're not seeing God come through in the ways that we've been praying. Maybe we've questioned the value and the importance and the power of prayer. And I think in one way, I always have seen the value of prayer in developing a relationship with the Lord, but at the same time, maybe questioning whether it's really making a difference as I come before him with my request and how he's going to act or not. But the more that I've grown in my relationship with the Lord throughout my life, as I've grown in knowing Jesus more, I look back on my life and I can say without a doubt there is power in prayer and that God answers prayer. I can honestly say now that one of the greatest joys of my life and some of the biggest ways that my faith has grown has been through the practice of prayer. Time after time after time, God has answered prayer in moments that I didn't see how things were going to happen and how things were going to move forward. Maybe I didn't see the results or see the answers right away, but time after time, God has answered. And God has come through. You know, simple things in my life of something of seeing and feeling like God, for whatever reason, would put a desire in my heart and praying for things to go a certain way. And before I know it, as I look back on my life, God is blessed and he's worked in that way. You know, in my relationship with my wife, with Kristen, with my family, with just how he has provided for us time and time again. I know that we all have these stories as we think of our own lives that we can see how God has answered and how he has worked through prayer. But not just in how he has answered our prayers in the positive, but even in how he has said no at times. That I can be equally grateful for that because he knows what is best. I know that you've seen this in your own lives, and God has always been faithful, and he's always will be. And as we talk about prayer and the importance of it this morning, I want us to look at how Jesus is teaching his disciples here to pray. And it's in the context of the heart of a father who loves his children, and he wants them to ask. And so we ask. However, whenever we come before him in our prayers, I want us to think about, you know, what is it that we are praying and how are we praying? Sometimes as I have listened to my kids through the years as they're praying and as they're maturing early on, it's a lot of, God, would you do this? Would you do this? Would you do this? Would you do this? And it can seem like, can't it, where it sounds like maybe it just seems a little selfish. And God, you just serve me and you just do this and all these things. And I'm grateful for that because there is, as we do that, we believe that God is able. And we're trusting in him and that we are relying on him and depending on him. However, as we mature in our prayers, we come not just with our request, but we also come with an understanding saying, Lord, what we're going to look at this morning, Lord, I want it to be all for your glory, and I'm trusting in you. And so here's the question for us this morning as we look at this passage. How can we become better prayers? What can we learn from how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray? We're not going to look too far into this, but our focus is going to be in the first few verses here, verses 2-4. And Jesus, he starts out and by saying this, pray like this. He says, Father. And if we just pause for a moment there a little bit more and to think about what is that that Jesus is encouraging them and how is he teaching them and telling them just in saying how they ought to come and address the Lord. He's saying that he is our Father, he is our Abba, he is our Daddy. Meaning we are his children, every single one of us who trust in him as our Lord and Savior, have been brought into his family, and he is our Father. We've been adopted into his family, and what a powerful thing it is to be a child of God. Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He is our Father, and we are his children. And oh, how he loves us. And so in light of all of this, where do we go and how do we respond but to worship him as we pray? You know, we come to him as our heavenly Father, and Jesus teaches us to ask, but what are we asking for? What's the antidote to self-centered prayers? And it's God-centered prayers. That's what we're pursuing here. Last week was the simple point that what it means to follow Jesus is it's not about us anymore, but it is all for him. It is all for his glory. And so as we pray, that's where it starts also as we look at this passage as how Jesus teaches them to pray. It starts with us coming to him and saying, it's all about you, Lord. And that's what the first petition is. It says, hallowed be your name. It's the first ask. It's the ask that is the top priority under which all of the other asks and requests and the petitions come under. We've probably come and we've said this prayer so many times and have it memorized, and we could, you know, and we just say it, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and we just go. But to slow down and to think, may we not be so familiar with it that we miss what it is that we are praying. This petition here of hallowed be your name, that's our number one request. It puts God in his rightful place. And it's so easy to turn away into our own prayers, our own desires, our own agendas as we come to him rather than just slowing down and stopping there and saying, God, it's you. It's all about you. Hallowed be your name in whatever it is that you desire. And that's what we are reminded of here, is that God has his own agenda, and we want to come under that, and we want to trust what it is that he's doing and how he's working. As we look closer at what this phrase means, we see the word hallowed here, which has the meaning of sanctified. It means holy. It means that which is sacred, and it's not a request that God's name would be holy. Because it is holy, we know that the psalmist, he says this, we know these, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Isaiah said this, that for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. It's not like we're praying that it would be and will be holy, because it is holy. But rather it's saying that, God, may your name be treated as holy. Do you see his name as holy? It is. And so if you don't get that, then we've got to get that figured out and get that right. Because how are you treating his name? We're to pray that his name would be shown holy or treated as holy. And so here's the next question as we talk about names. God's name is holy because the name is tied to his identity. What he's like, what he did, what he does. When we're talking about his name, we're talking more than just a label, but it's identifying his character and who he is and what he's about and what he has done. It actually communicates something about the bearer of the name. In Exodus 33, verse 19, the Lord is talking to Moses, and God tells him, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The name there is communicating who God was and what he did and what he does. Throughout Scripture, there's so many names, and maybe at some time, maybe you've read a book on it or heard a sermon on it, but there are all these names of God that tell us about who he is, his character, and what he does. Names like Elohim, which means God is creator, El Shaddai means God all-sufficient, Adonai, he's master, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Makadesh, the one who sanctifies, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Rohi, shepherd, he's our judge. This list goes on, and it just tells us of all that he is and who he is and what he has done in our lives and all throughout history. And so there's a command to honor his name. But God's name carries more weight than it just describing who he is and what he's done. A person's name also has to do with his reputation. And so in the same way, here, God's people, what did it mean for Jewish people back in the day? To them, it meant that God's people could hallow his name by living rightly. It had an effect on his reputation, because if they lived wrongly, then they would profane his name, bring disrepute to his name. And so here, that is what our desire is. They knew that God would see to it that his name was going to be honored. So for the sake of God's reputation, they wanted God's name to be valued and shown special and holy above every other name. David the psalmist, he appealed to his name, not to us, but to your name be the glory. It's all about his name. And so to help us further understand what Jesus is teaching us to pray in saying, hallowed be your name, let's break it down into how this looks in our lives. Because we want to be a people who are praying and coming before the Lord and coming daily and praying this, we're saying, God, we want your name to be treasured. We want your name to be held in high regard. We want your name to be shown holy. We want your name to be adored and revered. And so how do we do that? How do we do that in our lives? How do we hallow his name? How's this look? Well, here's a few ways. Maybe in our conversation, as we're talking with others, what do the words that come out of our mouths say about what you think about God and his name? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 speaks to the importance of our words. It says this, I tell you on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And so the words that we are saying, are they showing that we treasure him? In our speech, does our speech help others see the goodness of the Lord? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, in our times whenever we gather together and we are praying with one another, do our prayers portray accurately? God is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and sufficient God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, you are the Lord. You alone, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all, all the hosts of heaven worship you. Just as we read here, as this prayer is being prayed out, it's telling us and it's communicating who it is that God is. It's why we sing. It's the songs that we sing. What is it that we're singing? Are they true and right? Psalmist writes, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation day to day. We do this in every way that we live and behave. This whole thing of God, hallowed be your name in my life. That's our desire. There's some definite don'ts in regards to his name. Don't misuse his name. You shall take the name of the Lord your God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Or don't attach God's name to something that he wouldn't attach his name to himself. Don't leverage the name of God in order to accomplish your own agenda. All throughout history, God's name has been attached to some things that aren't what he would attach his name to. Don't use his name in anger. Don't misrepresent it and add God's name to something that he isn't for, but rather that you are. You know, think about how we treat God's name as we say, oh my, and use his name flippantly sometimes, and so easy it just flows out. Are we treasuring his name? When you hear God's name desecrated, does it bother you? What child wants their father to be misrepresented or dragged through the mud? No child wants that. And so, in like manner, does it bother you whenever God's name is dragged through the dirt? He's not spoken well of? The deal is that everyone is going to worship him. Everyone will bow down before him at some point. The day is coming. either willingly or not, God will protect his name. And so let this be our prayer. What God is saying here in just this first phrase this morning that I want us to just be reminded of as we come to him in prayer is that we are praying, hallowed be your name. We're praying, God, we're praying that you would demonstrate your power and your holiness in the world, in our community, in our lives, in our circles, in our families. Lord, we're praying, hallowed be your name in every place. God, we're praying, hallowed be your name, and we're praying that we would live our lives in such a way that would reflect that that's true. That your name is hallowed, revered, adored, and worshiped, whether or not others around us do or not. God, in my life, hallowed be your name. May we live in such a way that shows that you are our rock, that you are our peace, that you are our shepherd, righteousness, that you are the ever-present one who will never leave us. And God, we're praying, hallowed be your name, that God, that your name would be known and that people would come to know you and have a desire to know you. We're saying, yes, Lord, we're walking in your ways. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. And from there, all the other requests come. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are, because we're saying at above it all, God, we want you to be glorified above it all. And so with that said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. If we are in hard circumstances, we pray, Father, hallowed be your name. May your name be made holy, be seen as holy. May you be glorified in my circumstances. I'm asking that you would be honored in every single step that I take. If we're in a good place, we're praying, Father, hallowed be your name. May your name be known and seen to be holy. May you be glorified in my joy. I'm asking you to be honored in each step that I take. And so this morning, it's just a reminder for us to pause. I pray like that it's a daily habit that as you awaken in the morning, the first thing we do is we turn to the Lord. Lord, hallowed be your name. As we head off to our workplace and to our schools, hallowed be your name in me today, in my school. May you be glorified. Imagine what this looks like. Imagine a church that is just a people who are gathered together and saying, Lord, hallowed be your name. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Imagine homes and families and workplaces where this is the prayer that is over it all. God, would you be glorified? And he must have first place. And so this morning we want to, in the time that we have, is to encourage us to be a people of prayer, is that as we head into this year, every year we like to share a little update of some of the things that have happened in the past year as we look forward to the we look forward to the coming year. And so as we look into this coming year, I want to ask you to be praying. Just be praying for us as a church family to be a people who are giving everything that we've got for his glory, that we be a people who are trusting him. God has been so good to us over this past year, and so we want to give a little update on that, but also share some details and updates as to what we're looking forward to this year and how God has been blessing and how he's been working. And so before you, you have this annual report that we make up every year. And before we lead into that, just want to share this video because God has been so faithful to us. And our prayer and our hope is that, and I believe that God has been glorified in how he worked in this past year. So go ahead, Rach. All right. So, well, there's been so much as we're reminded every year as I look through the pictures and just try to add some to show and share to remind, I'm just reminded of all how good God has been to us and all the kinds of ways that he has blessed us and the opportunity to touch so many lives with the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all get to be a part of making it all happen. And what a blessing it is to be a part of a church family that is focused on that as its mission and to see God working and blessing. And so this morning, before you in this is just a report of some of those things. We're not going to read through it all, but I did want to highlight a few things of note, and then I'm going to have Butch come in a moment just to share just how God has blessed and is blessing through the area of finances. But if you look on this one page, it's inside the last page of it. Just a special note, this past year, we get to partner with a number of missionaries and partners around the world, and just be able to support and be a part of what God is working beyond here in our own home area. And this past year, just able to be, we have our regular giving that we give to these partners, but to be able to bless them even more. You see a list of things like Rhodes Grove, and it has the amounts that we were able to send to these different places. Laurel Mission, we were able to get them some new mattresses and trailer to help them with their ministry work that they were doing there. The Kegs in Indonesia to help them as they're doing their work. They're reaching the unreached people of the Rajong and those that they are connected with. We've got the Shears serving in Cyprus and some much-needed resources that they needed. And you can just go down that list, and just because of your generosity and because of our partnership through that, just to be able to bless and be a part of what God is doing around the world. And what a gift it is to be able to do that and have those kinds of relationships. There's so much exciting and stuff that we have to be grateful for. Butch, would you come and share a little bit from your perspective? And then Brent, would you follow him as just to give some other updates that we might have?
It's nice as a finance guy to come and give good news. God has been really good to us this year. We've been able to finish the year with well over $200,000 in the bank, not designated for other things that were designated. It's exciting to see we were able to get almost exactly to budget for our income for the year, and yet we had pretty significantly underspent the budget, so we had a pretty good increase in the amount of money that the church has available for resources, allowing us to do some special projects that we'll be talking about here shortly. Also, just an update on the church loan that we have for the community center. We started off about 3 years ago with a $1.35 million loan. It's a 20-year loan. Because of the extra generosity of the church, we've been able to pay over $100,000 extra on the loan just in this past year. With all of the extra offering that we were able to give through you and through your special giving, we were able to cut the term of that loan down to 13 years on the 20-year loan. We are down close to $900,000 now, meaning we've paid over $450,000 in the principal in just 3 years. It's amazing. God's been really good to us and has been blessing us, and I look forward to another great year of what God's able to do through you and through the finances.
Well, I don't get to give exciting numbers. I feel jealous now. As lay leader, I wanted to bring to you a couple projects that are going to be going on at the church here over the year. I wanted to ask you to be praying for them. The first is that we've got our church directory that many of you got your pictures taken, things over the last couple months. So those are going to be going out to you hopefully within the next few weeks. But that's something that we haven't updated in a couple years. And so we wanted to come back around, and especially with us splitting to two different services and things like that, give everybody a chance to be able to stay in contact and connect and things like that. The other project that we wanted to make you aware of and make sure that everybody was in the loop and praying about was some updates that we're going to be able to make to the sanctuary here. So we take great pride in the building that God has blessed us with, and we want to do everything that we can to take the best care of it. And one of the ways that we haven't been able to update it in quite a while is just taking care of the sanctuary here. And so over the next few months and then throughout the rest of the year, we're going to be renovating some of the elements of the sanctuary. We're going to be refurbishing the pews and making sure that they stay in good working order. There's some damages and some things just over the years that have taken place, and so we're going to be updating those. We're going to be reupholstering them and taking care of some carpets and paints. And we're really excited about that. The board has been looking into that, doing a lot of research. Amy Jo has led a team that has been doing a lot of research and looking into that. And so that's something that is going to be happening throughout the remainder of the year, and we'll be coming to you with some more information as we have it, as far as dates and things like that. But wanted to ask you to be praying for that and the team, and as we continue to try to do everything that we can there to take great care of the building that God's blessed us with. I think that was all the things, as far as I remember, that I was supposed to bring up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, and I just asked, as we talked about prayer this morning and being a people of prayer, just ask, you know, Brent, if he would close our time together just in prayer. As we come before the Lord, I pray that you will read through all of that whenever you have time, maybe this afternoon when you get home. God's blessed, and he is doing some amazing, wonderful things and giving us an opportunity to share the gospel and help people find and follow after him in our community. And so we want to be faithful to that. And the first thing, a main thing, an essential thing, is for us to be a people of prayer. And so I ask you to be praying. Pray over just some of the things that we have coming forward, that we would be a people who are unified and together with that. What we talked about this morning as being our number one thing. God, hallowed be your name. It's all about you. And so let's stand. And then Brent, would you close us in prayer? Thanks.
All right, let's pray. Lord, as we come to you today, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the ways that you have blessed our congregation, Lord, that you've moved and provided and cared for the body here at Devonshire. Lord, we are so grateful for your presence and your mercies, Lord, the way that you have just provided for us, Lord, that you've carried us through hard times this year and continue to love us and show us your love every single day. Lord, as we move into the following year, we ask that you would just give us a heart for you, God, that you would that you would build our relationship with you, that you would draw us close to you, that the thing that would matter the most to us, and that would be visible to the community and the entire world, Lord, is how much you mean to us, how much you've done for us, and how we want to live our lives for you. And so we lay that before you, Lord, and we ask that whatever plans we have, individually or corporately, God, that you would ordain those and that you would bless those, and that you would be the one that brings all the honor and all the glory to your name. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold on to what is good, honor all people, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, and share the gospel. Love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.